Tomorrow's New York Times will feature a full-page ad thanking the states of Colorado and Washington for passing laws to legalize and regulate the recreational use of marijuana. The ad, sponsored by the Drug Policy Alliance, proclaims 80 years after the end of Prohibition, Prohibition is finally coming to an end.
They really represent an historic breakthrough.
Ethan Nadelman is founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance.
These are not just the first two states in the United States, but the first two political jurisdictions anywhere in the world to decide to legally regulate marijuana, more or less like alcohol. So I think we'll see other states beginning to do the same thing in coming years. But this is a major breakthrough. It's going to require the federal government to figure out what to do. But the fact that you have the voters in these states voting, and not just by a small margin, but by 55 to 45 margins in both states, to say, let's deal with marijuana differently, is truly unprecedented.
President Obama recently said that enforcement of federal marijuana laws in states that have legalized the recreational use of marijuana should not be a top priority for the Justice Department. That's not the final word on the issue, as we've seen with medical marijuana, but is that an encouraging sign?
Well, I'll tell you what was encouraging. I mean, on the one hand, he's saying that they have better things to do than go after small fry, and they're not going to go after marijuana users, which is what they said on medical marijuana. And that's basically true, and it's not news. Where I took a little more hope was when he said, we need a conversation about how to reconcile federal law with what the voters in Washington and Colorado have decided to do. I mean, he could have just recited the old mantra about it's all illegal under federal law, we can't allow this. But he's talking about a conversation. And I think he understands that nobody needs to have a knee-jerk reaction to this, and that there's a lot of good reasons from a political perspective, a policy perspective, a health and law enforcement perspective, a fiscal perspective, to allow authorities in those two states to figure out a way to bring marijuana above ground in such a way that federal law can live with it. I think he's between a rock and a hard place on this. I mean, this is not the sort of issue where presidents normally lead these kind of hot-button social issues. They typically follow from what the public does and what the states do. But I suspect that in his heart of hearts, he's modestly sympathetic, but that there's a lot of tough variables for him to deal with.
Other state and federal political figures have voiced opinions that would at least be encouraging that the war on drugs is a topic that is now open for discussion. What do you see as the most hopeful signs and the most significant comments that have been made so far?
We really wanted to connect the dots among all these prominent people who have spoken out. So we make the point that Bill Clinton has been speaking out more and more forcefully about the failure of the drug war. Then we point out the fact that you have both Jimmy Carter on the one hand and Pat Robertson on the other, who have basically endorsed legalizing marijuana during this past year. And then we point to the various presidents in Latin America, President Santos in Colombia and Otto Perez Molina in Guatemala and Mujica in Uruguay, all of whom are saying, break the taboo on discussing alternatives to drug prohibition. We need a fundamentally new policy. And in the case of Uruguay, actually trying to figure out a way to legally regulate this stuff. And then we point to Governor Christie in New Jersey, who's no great progressive on this stuff, but he's broken ranks with other Republican leaders in saying the drug war is a failure, in allowing needle exchange to proceed, in supporting the medical marijuana program, in doing a host of other things. So he's not our favorite drug policy reform politician, and he can't compare to somebody like Pete Shumlin, the governor of Vermont, but the fact that a guy who could be a leading candidate for president in 2016 is breaking ranks with fellow Republicans is significant. And on the other side, Andrew Cuomo in New York, who also may be running in 2016, the fact that he stepped out a few months ago and said what's going on with marijuana arrests in New York City and the racially discriminatory aspect of this is intolerable, so I'm putting forward legislation to stop that, that was significant. So there's a lot happening around the country in a way that we've never seen before. The ad highlights some of the most prominent individuals involved in that.
What is the fiscal and social cost of the war on drugs as it is tallied right now?
Well, it's a hard thing to put an exact number on, but the best estimate is that the cost of the war on drugs within the United States is between $50 and $100 billion a year in direct expenditures. It's hard to say because it's woven into state and local enforcement and the numbers are not the most reliable. If you want to think in terms of indirect costs, like what it costs when you lock up a woman whose boyfriend was involved in drug dealing and she was answering the door and you throw her away with a mandatory minimum and put her two or three kids in the social welfare system, then you're just increasing the cost dramatically in a whole variety of ways. Then you consider that, at least with respect to marijuana, the option of taxing and regulating it like we do with alcohol could bring in another $10 to $20 billion a year. Then when you consider, obviously, the social costs. I mean, what it means to have millions of Americans now living with a felony conviction for a drug offense, which hangs over them for the rest of their life. What it means when you're arresting over 1.5 million people a year on drug charges, half of them for marijuana. What it means when you have 500,000 people behind bars for a nonviolent drug law violation. What it means when the combination of our demand for drugs and our backward policies are wreaking havoc in places like Mexico and Central America and the Caribbean. So those sorts of more social costs are really incalculable. But there's no question that tens of millions of people each year are negatively harmed, sometimes in very dramatic ways, by the failed war on drugs.
What do you see as the next battleground or potential victory in waging the war against the war on drugs?
Well, we have to try to help Washington and Colorado implement those legalization initiatives. And that's both a political challenge within those states, although there's a fairly high level of political commitment from senior leadership there. And it's also in terms of engaging with Washington, with Congress and the White House, to try to get those guys to back off enough so that Washington and Colorado can do what they need to do. Then there's the question of where we go next with these legalization initiatives. The country is now evenly split on the issue of legalizing marijuana. There are states like Oregon or Maine or maybe Nevada where ballot initiatives are a possibility. California, for sure, I think in 2016. In New York, there is going to be a renewed effort to pass state legislation to prevent the NYPD from arresting young people for having a joint in their pocket. We'll see an effort to legalize medical marijuana this coming year. And I should also point out that, you know, for us, it's not just about rolling back the drug war. It's also about reducing the harms of drugs, which is why we've also played a leadership role in passing what are called 911 Good Samaritan laws to try to reduce overdose fatalities around the country. So for us, the mission really is both about reducing the harms of the drug war and reducing the harms of drugs.
Ethan Nadelman is founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance.